The Tempest, a critical appreciation. Various themes of this play. The Tempest is replete with significance. It's a play having several themes and a play which yields several meanings. It is primarily a play dealing with the theme of power, spiritual and temporal power, natural and supernatural power, power over the outer world and power over oneself. Before his arrival on this island, Prospero was the ruler of the city-state of Milan. It was after being driven out of his native Milan that he arrived on an uninhabited island of which he then became the ruler. He lost all power as the Duke of Milan, but he became all powerful on the uninhabited island where he began to exercise full control even over the forces of nature. On this island, he has been commanding the services of numerous spirits led by Ariel. And he has also been exercising full authority over Caliban, who is half human and half beast. Thus, on his desert island, Prospero is an unquestioned ruler, even though Caliban occasionally mocks at him. Prospero functions on the island like a ruler because he is by birth a ruler. The nature of power as a theme in this play is developed through Ferdinand also. Ferdinand is the heir apparent to the throne of Naples and he takes his inheritance seriously. After finding himself cast ashore and thinking that his father has been drowned, he now begins to think himself to be the king of Naples, and that's why talking to Miranda he asserts that he is a king. When Prospero has all his enemies under his control on the island, he deals with them just as he thinks it fit. None of them is in any position to defy or disobey him. In this connection, it is necessary to point out that Prospero's exercise of power on this island has been interpreted as the efforts of a colonizer to establish a colony in a foreign land and use his forces over the inhabitants represented by Caliban. According to this view, Prospero is an imperialist using force and coercion against the natives of the country which he has conquered and colonized. In this collection, Gonzalo's speech describing an ideal commonwealth also becomes relevant. Another theme which we find in this play is the contrast between nature and nurture. The play tends to prove that there are some natures which cannot be altered, modified or improved by nature. If a person is by nature evil, then he would continue to be evil in spite of all efforts to improve him morally. Nurture implies breeding, upbringing, instruction and education. Now Prospero has done his utmost to bring about a moral improvement in Caliban, who is the son of a witch and who is therefore by nature and by blood evil-minded. Prospero discovers to his dismay that Caliban's nature doesn't receive any print of goodness. Caliban therefore remains at the end what he was at the beginning. All that Caliban has learnt is that to defy Prospero means only seeking trouble and misery, but no change occurs in Caliban's nature, closely allied with its theme and in a sense opposed to it. It is the theme of noble savage. Caliban seems to some extent justified in claiming that the island originally belonged to him, that Prospero is a usurper. Furthermore, Caliban is depicted as being quite sensitive to the beauties and wonders of nature. Thus, there is a poetic element in his nature and in his makeup. The noble savage is of in arms against the invading tyrant, Prospero. Yet another theme in the play is the transience of life and in fact of everything in the world. In this connection, Prospero's famous speech pointing out the impermanence of all things and in this world is important. Prospero points out to Ferdinand that the transience not only of all the things in the world but of the world itself. This entire globe will in course of time dissolve and fade away. Prospero makes his speech in relation to the mosque which he has presented. The spirits who were whole world in course of time, the theme of transience is also illustrated times. Uriel assumes a safe which is required by his mission at as a harpy, and he is totally adaptable to the changing circumstances. Most often he appears singing or playing a tune on a musical instrument. Music itself illustrates the changing nature of things, and music itself appears as an agent of illusion. The songs which Ariel sings to Ferdinand speaks of death and transformation. Even though Ferdinand's father has not really been drowned, in other words, even music in this play contributes to the theme of transience and impermanence. Various meaning found by critics in this play. It is because of its manifold themes that The Tempest yields several meanings. The story of this play has been interpreted by critics in several ways. For instance, one critic finds forgiveness and freedom to be the keynote of the play. Another critic finds that cheerfulness in misfortunes is the lesson which the play teaches. Some critics are of the view that the portrayal of Prospero is Shakespeare's portrayal of himself. Prospero's renunciation of the magic powers symbolizes Shakespeare's goodbye to the theater and his need for rest. Yet another view of the play is that Prospero stands for a man of genius or a great artist who attains the height of powers after many hardships. Prospero is accompanied by the marvelous child Miranda, who symbolizes art in its infancy. According to the interpretations, Caliban symbolizes the lower passions and appetites of mankind. According to yet another interpretation, this play is Shakespeare's answer to the great question of the Elizabethan age, namely the justification of the European usurpation of the backward and uncivilized territories of the earth. Yet another view of The Tempest is that it offers a picture of the glorious victory of the righteous human soul over all the things around it. It is a proof of the greatness of The Tempest as a work of art, and so many meanings have been found in it. Then, supernaturalism in this play. Perhaps the most striking feature of this play is its use of supernaturalism. Magic plays a very important role here. In fact, the play would not be able to stand on its legs if magic were to be eliminated from it. Prospero would be reduced to a complete non-entity if he is divested of his supernatural powers. It is by virtue of his supernatural powers that Prospero becomes the master of the island. But for his attainment of magic powers by him, he would have been Caliban's servant instead of being his master. Almost every important event has been made to occur by the power of magic. The very storm which is blowing on the sea in the opening scene has been caused by Ariel under Prospero's instructions. And Prospero is able to give such instructions to Ariel because of his own supernatural powers, which are far greater than those of Ariel. Ariel becomes an instrument of Prospero's will because of Prospero's vast supernatural powers. The banquet which is laid before Alonso and his companions is the work of a number of spirits who function under the instructions of Prospero. Then the banquet disappears as mysteriously as it had been laid down. Next, Ariel, disguised as a harpy, administers a terrible admonition to the three offenders. Prospero defeats Stephanos' effort to murder him because Ariel has almost incapacitated Stephano and the other two evildoers, namely Caliban and Trinculo, by having lured them into the stinking pond of water. Furthermore, Stephano and Trinculo feel so tempted by the gaudy clothes that they forget their plan to murder Prospero. And it is Ariel who had hung these clothes on a line under Prospero's instructions. In short, the entire plot of the play is set into motion by means of supernatural machinery. And then the various happenings take place largely under Prospero's power of manipulating events by the exercise of his magic. A tempest takes us to a wonderland or to an enchanted island where Prospero, the great magician, can cause storms, control the lightning, make the grave open and command and the fairy spirits. At the same time, it is to be noted that Shakespeare exercises a wise economy in the use of his supernatural effects. By effects, he is limited to Prospero's island, and before leaving this island, Prospero gives up the supernatural powers instead of retaining him. Spectacle music, song in this play. Spectacle is an important aspect of the Tempest. This play is indeed spectacular in its effects. The storm and the endangered ship on the sea constitute a terrible spectacle. The laying down of the banquet and its disappearance constitute a fascinating spectacle. The mosque presented by the spirits under the direction of Prospero is the grandest spectacle in this play. The harpy appearing before Alonso and his companions and administering a severe rebuke to the three sinners is another dreadful spectacle. Equally noteworthy is the role of music and song, which form an important part of the spectacles in this play. Indeed, music in this play is all pervasive, from the first song by which Ariel lures Ferdinand to Prospero's to come. Ariel's songs deceive Stephano and Trinculo. His songs ally models contemplated by Antonio and Sebastian. His long astounds Alonso, and his singing fills the mind of Caliban with a vision to exquisite beauty. Indeed, the delicate spirits called Ariel seems to personify the very essence of music. Comic elements in the play. There is plenty of humor in this play. Indeed, Shakespeare's comic genius is amply illustrated here. Of course, we do not here have that brilliance of wit and humor which are found in such a great abundance in the great comedies of Shakespeare. The humor in this play is by comparison with the humor and wit in certain other plays by Shakespeare, rather crude. Much of the humor here is farcical. However, we do have some real wit in some of the remarks of Gonzalo, Antonio and Sebastian. In the very opening scene, Gonzalo pokes fun at the boatswain by saying that the boatswain's very face shows that he would die not by drowning. Gonzalo pokes fun at the boatswain by saying that the boatswain's very face shows that he would die not by drowning but by hanging on the gallows. There is no drowning mark upon the boatswain's face, that the boatswain's very complexion is perfect gallows, says Gonzalo. Gonzalo makes another witty remark when he says that he would like to die a dry death, that he would gladly give 1,000 furlongs of sea in exchange for an acre of barren ground. Antonio and Sebastian show their wit by making fun of Gonzalo. In a running commentary, they mock and scoff at the old Lord Gonzalo, who means no harm to anybody and who excites the jealousy of these two men by his sheer goodness. The chief source of humor in the play is the drunken behavior of Caliban, Stephano and Trinculo. But even in this case, Trinculo makes a few remarks which are certainly witty. Trinculo satirizes the mentality of the English people who would pay for an admission ticket to see a monster but would not give a penny in charity to a needy fellow. The realistic element in the play. In spite of its supernaturalism, the Tempest is realistic at the core. The supernatural events are, of course, incredible. The supernatural elements in the play impart to this play the quality of a fantasy. Prospero's island is an enchanted island, and yet the play is essentially realistic. The realistic quality of the play finds expression in the manner in which the various characters have been portrayed. In other words, Shakespeare's portrayal of the various persons in this play shows his realistic approach to his art of drama writing. Most of the events in the play are manipulated by Prospero by the use of his supernatural powers. But human nature in the play has been depicted in a perfectly realistic manner. The mutual attraction of Ferdinand and Miranda and their falling in love with each other and perfectly true to life. In real life also, we have the common situation of the young people falling in love with each other at first sight. Then the villainy of Antonio and Sebastian is also true to life. Both these men appear as unnatural brothers and both are devoid of a conscience. Such villains are quite common in real life. Ambition is something to be found in almost every human being, and everybody tries to attain his ambition by all kinds of methods, fair and foul. Then there is the case of Alonso, who too had committed a crime and who now repents of it. There are certainly people in this world who commit misdeeds and subsequently repent of them. Even Prospero's forgiveness of his enemies is not something unbelievable. The forgiveness here is certainly unique, but it is not something impossible. The drunken behavior of Stefano and Trinculo is perfectly convincing. Under the influence of liquor, a man behaves in a most absurd manner, and absurd is the behavior of Stefano and Trinculo. The character of Caliban certainly presents problems, but it is not difficult for us to conceive of a human being who is half beast and half human so far as his nature and his deeds are concerned. The different motives of the various persons in this play have convincingly been depicted. Miranda's pity for the passengers on the storm-tossed ship. Antonio inciting Sebastian. Remorse. All these have been depicted in such a manner that we feel no doubt at all about their geniusness. A mingling of romantic and classical elements. In The Tempest, we have an interesting blend of the romantic and the classical elements. Viewed from one angle, this play contains the very essence of romance. The supernatural powers of Prospero are by themselves enough to impart to the play a romantic atmosphere. Prospero's supernatural powers make it possible for him to command the fairies and spirits of all kinds to obey his orders and to serve him any manner he likes. Prospero's wizardry is in itself something romantic. Indeed, his magic powers remind us of the stories of Arabian Nights' entertainment. The non-human aerial, the masks in which spirits and fairies play the various parts, and the plishing of a banquet by the mysterious shapes gives to the play a highly romantic character. The youthful passion of Ferdinand and Miranda for each other enhances the play's romantic atmosphere, but this play has also certain classical characteristics. In the first place, Shakespeare has here strictly observed the unities of time and place, and he has also largely observed the unity of action. The observance of these three dramatic unities was a feature of the ancient classical plays. Then this play is classical also in its restraint in the expression of the passion, its severe beauty, its majestic simplicity, and its intermingling of the lyrical and the ethical. The compact and well-knit structure of the play. The Tempest has a compact and well-knit structure. Shakespeare's observance of three units in this play contributes greatly to the compactness of its structure. The unity of time demands that the action of a play should not cover a longer span than 24 years. The unity of place demands that the action of a play should occur at the same location and should not keep shifting from one location to another. The unity of action requires that play should contain one central interest and one single plot so as to produce the singleness of impression. Now, the location of all the events in The Tempest, Prospero's island. On the island itself, the action does shift from one point to another, but we are never made to leave the island and move to another location. Then the entire action of the play covers a period not more than 3 hours. As for the plot of this play, the main interest centers around Prospero's sweet revenge upon the enemies who had driven him out of his kingdom. Most of Prospero's doings on the island are devoted to his desire to bring his enemies under his control and make them realize the seriousness of his crime, which they had committed against him. Of course, the play has also a couple of subplots which certainly injure the unity of effect. There is plenty of fooling by Stephano and intrigue with Stephano and Trinculo has nothing at all to do with the main one. Similarly, the subplot of the love of Ferdinand and Miranda is something quite separate from Prospero's revenge upon his enemies. Though the subplot has been brought into a close relationship with the main plot, the whole display shows a more unified pattern of construction than many other plays by Shakespeare. A miracle of poetry and romance. The Tempest has been regarded by critics as a miracle of poetry and romance. This play is at once a police story, a love story, and a story of royal intrigue and jealousy, and is a spectacle of loveliness and ugliness, of the shipwreck and murder, of the magicians and fairies, all seen on an island set somewhere in unknown seas, where the lonely inhabitant is a kind of monster who would arouse the curiosity of crowds of people. This play is full of grandeur and grace, all the characters, human and non-human, the dramatic and the grotesque, have been brought together in the same play with the greatest skill. Some of the characters here are among Shakespeare's finest and most successful creations. The beautiful Miranda, the delicate Ariel, the savage Caliban, the drunken Stephano and Trinculo, and above all, the all-powerful Prospero constitute a group of characters who holds us spellbound throughout the play. In a single drama are here exhibited princes, courtiers, and sailors, all speaking in their real characters. There is the agency of airy spirits of an earthly monster. There are the operations of magic, the tumults of a storm, the adventures on a desert island, the native effusion of untaught affection, the punishment of guilt, and the final happiness of the pair in whom our passions and reason are equally interested. The incidental references to Claribel have the effect of adding another female character to the play. Besides their use of furnishing an unforced motive for the voice of Alonso, they serve to place him in contrast with Prospero's in respect of paternal sensibility.